I forgot to mention at the beginning of Mass that not only is this Elizabeth's first communion Mass, but also I married her parents years ago. And I guarantee my work. No doubt about that. Actually, today's gospel is exactly about doubting, about not being sure of something, about not believing. It's a very famous story of Thomas, who wasn't quite sure that Jesus rose from the dead. When Jesus came to show himself to the disciples, Thomas wasn't with them. And they come in later and they tell Thomas what happened, and he has a hard time accepting it. And I have to tell you, I understand that. Someone rising from the dead, that's hard to believe. Sometimes people tell me that they have a hard time accepting the resurrection. I don't give them a hard time. It actually is quite an amazing story. It's quite a miracle. It's only happened once, and so it's an amazing event. So Thomas is not sure. But I think there's something else that Thomas is not sure about. Because after all, Jesus predicted that he would rise from the dead many times. But Thomas really shouldn't have doubted that. What I think Thomas wasn't sure of, what I think confused Thomas, what I think what he doubted, was that why would Jesus still have the marks of his wounds? If he rose from the dead, why wouldn't his body be perfect? Why wouldn't it be without any blemish at all? And especially those wounds which came from the Romans, who executed him as a criminal. Why would the marks of that the Romans left on his body still be there if he rose from the dead? That's really interesting. Why would those wounds still be there? Well, you know, Jesus came to show us the unconditional love of his Father in heaven, and nothing would stop him from doing that, not even crucifixion, not even death. His love transforms death, doesn't have any stopping power over him. It changes his wounds in a very powerful way. Now, if you think that's hard to understand, actually, I see this quite a bit. There's a really interesting example of this I see all the time. Sometimes I hear from parishioners who tell me about where they work, and they have to, you know, they have a long commute to work, and they have to get up early in the morning, they have to get in their car and get on the freeway or get on the road, and they have to deal with unpleasant other drivers. I know that never happens, but they have to deal with bad drivers or rain or an accident or congestion, and they have a long way to work. I tell you, all these years, I never lose track of my gratitude that I walk to work. one of my best fans. And then finally, when they get to work, they have unpleasant coworkers, or maybe a mean boss, and of course, they don't get paid enough. And all these things make the experience of work very, very difficult. And yet, I have found whenever I go into these places, almost invariably, at every person's place of work, there is a picture of their family. And I think when they get to work and they see that family picture, they say, now I know why I'm doing all that I'm doing. Now I know why I am suffering on the freeway. Now I know why I am trying to get along with coworkers or a bad boss. Now I know why I'm doing all this for the salary that I don't deserve. Now that I know why I'm doing it out of love. And that love transforms their suffering. Now the freeway doesn't get shorter, and the boss doesn't magically change, but they're able to deal with it in a different way, because they knew they are enduring all these things out of love. So love transforms suffering in a very powerful way. People can endure a tremendous amount of suffering if they knew they are doing it out of love for someone else. And Jesus has the marks on his hands to show us that he endured all these things for our benefit, that we might understand this love and be saved. And Thomas, when he finally meets Jesus, he doesn't say, Jesus, welcome back. He says, Jesus, my Lord and my God. That is a powerful assent of faith, where Thomas is saying, anyone who can transform death out of love, that person is of God, my Lord and my God. Thomas is completely changed when he understands how love can transform suffering and can even, in the work of Jesus, transform death. So this is called Divine Mercy Sunday. It comes from a nun who lived in Poland in the 1930s, and she had this vision in her head, in front of her eyes of Jesus with these rays of light coming out of his heart. And those are symbols of the rivers of mercy that are coming out. And mercy is just something that the disciples certainly needed. You know, if you are accused of doing something wrong, there's two responses. If you are innocent, then you can demand justice. I shouldn't be accused of this. But if you're guilty, then you can only plead for mercy. Mercy can only go to people who are guilty, who actually done something wrong. If you're innocent, then you get justice. But if you're guilty, it's mercy. And all of the disciples were guilty. All of them ran away, and they knew that. And so when Jesus comes to them, he says, "Peace be with you." And he says it three times, just to really make it sure that he understands that, yes, you ran away from me, but I'm giving you mercy, and the only thing I ask for you is a changed life. A changed life, that you will no longer do the bad things that you were doing, but that your life will go in a brand new direction. That's the message of divine mercy. Jesus will grant mercy to everyone, no matter what we have done, and the only thing that he asks of us is a changed, a transformed life. And that comes from accepting God's mercy, and especially accepting God's love.